We're going to focus just on a few words from the Apostle Peter tonight. I was getting ready for worship this week. In my mind, the phrase, keep the Christ in Christmas came. And I think you understand what that means, right? At Christmas time, it's very easy to get distracted by all of the festivities, right? The lights, the presents, the food, the candy, you name it, it's all there. I don't know if it's an equal to say, keep the saint in St. Patrick. I don't think that's probably a good way to put it. But it is unfortunate that St. Patrick's Day is synonymous with the Shamrock Shake at McDonald's, green beer. And when I was looking for things to do in the Appleton area on St. Patrick's Day, all I could find were pub crawls. But there are some really interesting concepts about this time of history. And really, what's kind of neat, it's not just this time in history. You start looking at Christians over the ages and Christians around the world. You can see just so many examples and gifts to the church that they were. And I think especially today, we are so looking in on our time in history and what we do here and all the achievements we're able to make. And we kind of like focus our attention on everything that's great right now. But man, it is amazing when you start going backwards. And things that we have never heard of or forgotten about or the church has not been able to put into practice are a major blessing. And so I want you to hear these words. Peter wrote this. It's in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says this. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. When Peter wrote these words, he was talking to a bunch of Christians scattered all over the place. And sometimes he says that phrase, right, foreigners and exiles. And at times, when people, I think, heard that, when Peter was writing to them, they saw themselves as that, literally, whether they were part of the Jewish people that was just scattered, the diaspora, in different places, and they just truly felt out of place. But multiple times when Peter wrote this in this letter, he described everybody this way. He said foreigners and exiles. He used the term strangers. And what he wanted them to start to think about was to see themselves that way because they were truly so different. The pressure of the culture at this time, the persecutions were ramping up a little bit more against them. Just the pressure from people around them to disown the Christian faith. And so he wanted to, I guess, to help them understand a concept that they feel like they don't belong and they feel different from everybody else. Yep, that's right. In a way, that's how they should feel when you're living your Christian faith and confessing that to a world around you. In the late 300s and 400s AD, throughout Ireland, monasteries were set up. It's one of the legacies of Patrick in that country. And there was a word that was that they were used to hearing, and that word was peregrinatio. It means an exile for Christ. And so the concept with these churchmen was that you didn't just go out as a missionary, so to speak. It was this idea that you went out as an exile, that you're going to go out to a different land intentionally, voluntarily, knowing that you are literally going to leave your homeland and the people you love and spread the gospel. And so about 100 years after the history of St. Patrick, there was a man by the name of Columba. When you read a little bit more about him, they call him Columba Chile, which means Columba of God. That's what people would call him. And he grew up at this time, and he studied in these monasteries in Ireland, and it made sense why he was going to leave that place and eventually become to Scotland what Patrick was to Ireland as he took the gospel that way. About a week ago, I was at Appleton Memorial Gardens. We were doing a committal service for one of the members of Emmanuel. And we sang a couple hymns, beginning at the end, and the last hymn we sang in the hallway, it was just kind of echoing through that hallway, if you've ever been there. It's you talk loud, you hear your voice everywhere. It was, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." And I think that phrase is really important for us to just always keep in our minds, because so often right now in life, we lament how bad everything is. We lament the struggles that the world is putting against Christians and the church. And at times, I think we're too surprised. And I think we're too surprised because we lost that concept that Peter talked about. Living as a stranger, as a foreigner, as an exile. Thinking that life right now is supposed to be the pinnacle, this is going to be the best we've ever had, when really there is this attitude amongst Christian missionaries throughout history that the time that they're in is more of a passing through time. In the grand scheme of eternity, just a little bit. And when you live that way, right, it changes your perspective and it especially changes your purpose. Right? Look what Peter says. He says, "I urge you to live that way." And then notice he says, "to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." It's interesting as he's talking to Christians who are being persecuted that he doesn't talk so much about what the people around them are doing to them, but he talks about that war inside of them. And over again in the Bible, that's how Scripture speaks. Paul said, "The good I want to do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing," right? It's that tongue twister, that acknowledgement of this idea that so often we tend to make a mess of things in our own lives and lives around us, and we wonder, man, why can't I get it right? We get self-deprecating. But that is not an excuse. It's how Scripture speaks as a reality. And so notice how Peter is speaking now. He's saying, live this way, live like a stranger, live like a foreigner, live like an exile, and then fight, right? Fight against that selfish part of you. Because when you fight against that selfish part of you, something's going to change. In order to fight, you have to put your mind to Jesus, right? His life, his death, his resurrection, everything that he did for you, because that's your power. But then God's going to use you in his purposes. Columba might have left Ireland and go to Scotland as an exile for Jesus, but when you read the history, he kind of had to do that. One of his issues was a temper and anger, and it's said that in his anger and his temper, he caused some major problems, and not go deep into it, but it was called the War of the Book, and some people were killed. And Columba, in a way, was responsible. And so he and his fellow churchmen got on a boat, and they sailed all the way to Iona, a little island off of Scotland. And tradition says that as he entered into the island and he looked backwards, he could see Ireland. And so he kept on going deeper into the island till he couldn't see his homeland because this was going to be his new place. And the more he looked backwards, the more he'd miss where he was. And I think as Christians, right, we have to keep that thought in mind to continue to not look backwards at who we once were, but to look forwards at who we are. And notice how Peter says, he said, when you do that, he says, You'll live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I don't think we often think of it in these terms. That when you fight against yourself, that by doing that, people are going to see God through that. If you don't quite understand, maybe it's better to say it in this way. When you seek God first and seek the good of, I guess, maybe your spouse first, then seek the good of your children first before you, seek the good of others before you. Notice how different that is in life compared to everybody else. Right, you start to combine that with all of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right, you start to live that way. Notice how different that is to what culture says right now. And so when you start to live the way of Christ, and living like a stranger and an exile here, not withdrawing yourself from an ungodly world, but actually living in the middle of it all, people are going to see it. People take notice. And there's a potential for God and the gospel to spread. If you caught anything in the little, some of the words in the liturgy tonight, you saw a phrase from the Iona Abbey. And the liturgy is taken from the Iona Abbey, set up by this man, Columba, in the 5th century, that's been used ever since. And if we were having worship tomorrow morning, there would have been people, right? You go back, what, 6 hours backwards at that same time, there would have been Christians in Scotland at the same moment that we were, saying these same words they said not just hundreds of years, but 1,000+ years. And one of the things, and you start to look at it, and you really think about this in this time period, and really all of Christian history when missionaries went out, especially right pre-date 1500s, the only language that these men read in terms of scripture was the Latin, or the Greek, or the Hebrew. The people weren't reading it, they weren't handing out Bibles, they were preaching this word themselves. They were preaching it in a country like Ireland or a country like Scotland, literally amongst pagans, and it was just a really brutal time. And who knows how many of these early Christians that we've never heard about that went there and never made it home. And so you start to see, it is such a really good thing to, as the writer of the Hebrews says, remember, right, your leaders and those who went before you, and learn from them. And so it's a good thing, right? A good thing that we take time to learn a little bit about what they did, a little bit about how they lived, a little bit about their impact in history, and especially Christian history. And the more you start to read and the more you start making connections, the music that we sing and praise God with, the music that we sing and broadcast out, it has done hundreds and hundreds of years of gospel work and it connects us to Christians over the history. But more importantly, it connects new people to Christ. I enjoy the different variety of music we can do here and the different variety of services, but this is more than just for variety's sake. This is a good thing to do because God, in his grace, continually blesses the church through people, through men and through women, through history, right? When the time had fully come. And so we can never forget that. And we thank God for the blessing us tonight and we're able to sing, to learn, but especially, right, to continue to live as strangers and exiles here until we finally meet our heavenly home. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, You can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's I-M-M-L-U-T-H.org. Have a great day.